weekend.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Matt LaFleur versus Ben Johnson, a.k.a. Walmart Matt. For first place in the NFC North. I'm not going to lie, it is irritating to see the Bears fans using a statistic from Ben Johnson being on the Lions to their own favor.
Crazy. And whole different team, organization,
wild.
Different players. And Brad said it yesterday, like, dude, they have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Jameson Williams, like, Jared Goff.
Offensive line, yeah, Aiden Hutchinson.
When he was there, a phenomenal offensive line.
Yeah. A lot of coaches wish they can say that. That's how they get the job. And then once they get there, they realize,
he's built the Bears running game similar to how he had the run game working with the Lions. A lot of that outside zone and all those things that we've grown accustomed to seeing. But they don't have a quarterback. And I really do believe that Matt LaFleur has the upper hand offensively against the Bears. The facts are the facts, guys, that the Bears score more points per game than the Packers. But it is going to be a little bit different when Micah Parsons is out there and Caleb Williams is forced to throw the ball. If he does, in tougher games, it's easy to go back to what's comfortable for you. It's probably very uncomfortable for him. As I was listening to Tom Waddle of Waddle and Sylvie on Wilde and Tausch this morning describe Caleb Williams, he said he won the Heisman by playing Superman hero ball. And last year he was doing the Superman hero ball. And this year it's still like he's learning to play in a system where he can't do that. It's more structured. There's this and there's that. Now, in a test like this, because we've gone over their schedule, and sure, they beat the crap out of the Eagles, but they ran for 250 yards and he threw for under 50% from the quarterback position, from a completion percentage standpoint.
Threw the ball 30 plus times.
So when you're going up against this defense, I don't think Ben Johnson is going to be able to put together a plan that in situations that Caleb Williams is going to hurt this Green Bay Packers team. Because on the other side of the football for their defense, they can't get to the passer. If Jordan Love is not under pressure, he cooks teams up.
It's amazing.
And
amazing.
With the trend of this offensive line, I'm saying from an offensive mind standpoint and the Bears putting up as many points as they do, I still think LaFleur has the major upper hand with the offense in this game. And it will show. It will end up showing because they take care of the football. Jordan does. They don't fumble. And they've been able to do that and be top 10 in the NFL in points with those low-scoring games that you mentioned, Kyle, of the Panthers and the Eagles. They're still in the top 10. Against a bad defense, they will thrive, and I don't think Ben Johnson with just a run game is going to beat Jeff Hafley.
Yeah, I mean, for all the criticism we give Matt LaFleur, and we hold him to a championship standard, so that's one of the reasons why, but Matt LaFleur is a brilliant offensive mind, and he really tries to create a balanced approach to the offense. And, you know, if anything, he maybe puts a little bit too much focus into running the football, and we think to ourselves, we have this unbelievable what is it, Lamborghini, Ferrari?
We got a Lamborghini and a Ferrari.
A Lamborghini and a Ferrari, and you try to use both of them. So with Ben Johnson, he's created an improved offense, but they're one-dimensional.
They got
guys.
A bunch of, like,
they're
Mustangs, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like a pickup truck, you know? Yeah. It's like kind of useful, but it's limited. So I think that when it comes to, you know, Ben Johnson, it's a one-dimensional offense, and in order to have a truly great offense, you got to have both quarterback throwing the ball and establishing the running. He just doesn't have that. So Matt LaFleur does have the upper hand for sure offense.
From a nostalgia perspective here, when Strofe gets mail and it goes over the air, I'd love to hear the old, you've got mail.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think?
Tom Hanks.
No, I would, the AOL.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got.
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about the movie, You've Got Mail.
No, like the AOL, You've Got Mail.
That is Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
And that's
good
based
job.
Off of Ben's sound.
Yeah, I know. That's why I
There's
went
a movie based off that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. Well,
they're like pen pals.
You've Got Mail.
Wow. Yeah. You pulled that fast.
Well, thinking about talking about the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson.
You're a good producer.
One thing I'll give Ben Johnson credit for this. One thing he does better to me so far as a, you know, him being offensive coordinator and also Matt being offensive coordinator is Ben Johnson understands his identity. He understands exactly who he is. Ben alluded to the fact that when he came to Chicago, the first thing he said, Ryan Poles, I need you to give me offensive line. Ryan Poles, I need you to draft me another running back. I need to get more offensive weapons in Loveland and in Luther Burden because I need to give Caleb Williams as much as possible, and we need to be able to run the football and give DeAndre Swift another guy who can carry the load with him. So I give him credit for saying this is what we're going to be offensively, and they have shown that throughout the entire season. Now, on the flip side, though, Ben, Brad, you're absolutely right. The Chicago Bears, like we talked about before, are a one-trick pony, and running the football is not going to just 100% get it done. You're going up against a defense that is top 10 against the run. You're going up against a defensive coordinator that is one of the emerging defensive coordinators in the NFL, and more importantly—
Thank God, by the way, that this happened against the Eagles before they play the Packers, because if Jeff Hafley's smart, he knows their blueprint. He knows he can watch how both running backs attack each of their different ways, and he's going to be prepared for this.
No, he's going to be absolutely prepared for it. And the problem that the Chicago Bears are going to have is I understand what Jim was talking about. They score points. Yes, they have score points, but they're playing against a team like the Green Bay Packers in a game that means a lot for both teams. And I can promise you the Packers are going to put the pedal to the metal, and they will not keep up with Jordan Love. I've talked about it yesterday. If you give the Green Bay Packers too many possessions, they're going to put the ball in the end zone more often than not against that lousy defense that the Chicago Bears have. The Green Bay Packers only have 7 total turnovers this entire season. It's their strength versus our strength, and the difference is the fact that we have Jordan Love at quarterback, and they do not have the offense that can keep up with Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. So it is going to be a track meet for one team, and I don't know if the Bears will be able to get off the block by the time the Packers are up 14-0 on them.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. We're talking about Matt LaFleur versus Ben Johnson. I called Walmart Matt, but I kind of like Timu Matt from Matthew.
Ooh.
What do we think about Timu Matt?
Timu Matt. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
it's a big downgrade from Walmart.
Homer's going to be definitely disappointed. He loves Timu.
I want to talk about somebody who's amazing. And Brad, it's your turn to talk about the one, the only.
Oh, that's right, because the one and only can only be Gina Della from Pella and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Now, especially right now, you're looking outside. It is freezing today. I mean, I think I saw single digits, maybe negatives this morning. That's just a reminder that those windows and doors, they got to be replaced because Wisconsin is a harsh environment to keep a house. But thankfully, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is here to make your Christmas season wonderful. And 2026 could be the year that you renovate that home. You get the inside and outside benefit of having beautiful, durable, and energy-saving, home value-increasing Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Now's the perfect time to give yourself that Christmas gift. 0% for 24 months. That's right, 24 months of 0% interest and all the beautiful benefits of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So don't wait any longer. Make sure you do it before the holiday season, before the year end. Visit PellaWI.com or even more, visit the showroom in Brookfield and see everything that Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has for you.
You got Jason Wilde, you got Greg Scalzo back-to-back coming up on Kyle Bruston-Nortman. Don't go anywhere. More next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
And you're disrupting my flow.
No, your flow.
I had a good flow.
Gee golly willikers.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The people that watch the Jets regularly, those 4 people, yeah, I don't know.
3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
This is like me announcing that I'll be on Wilde and Tausch tomorrow. I mean, God willing, if the creek don't rise.
Holding everybody accountable.
You play to your strength, and their strengths, if their offensive line can block the right people.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman. Tell me now, do you want it? Because these
dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm. Joining us now on Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde. Listen to Wilde and Tausch where they debate the start times of the NCAA volleyball tournament. Listen back to Tom Waddle, who was great with them on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And we join Jason into Kyle Bruston-Nortman right now. What's up, Jason?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we debated it. I'm not sure why.
It was entertaining. I'm not going to lie, because it mostly became about Jesse having to prepare for an hour and 20-minute pregame show for a volleyball game, which would be fascinating to have Jesse do extra work.
I,
Yeah, because that does rarely happen. He's a good sport about us teasing him about that, but he has to be because it's true. No, I was going to say the thing that I guess I didn't really say to Tausch, even though I was thinking it, was that, like, if you're a normal person, like, we all have, you know, we have different jobs, right? Like, our schedules are different because of what we do for a living. Certainly mine is getting to do this job at Lambeau Field and all that stuff. But, like, for a lot of people, like, if you work a 9-to-5 job, if the Badgers played at 4:30, you got to make special arrangements to get out. Your kids could have practices after school. Like, I don't know why he was so adamant about wanting Wisconsin to play first, but that's his thing, and it didn't happen, and it's a little bit redonkulous, but nevertheless, it was fun to have that conversation.
We talk a lot of Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears, we were discussing the coaching matchup, not the audio. We did get into that a little bit again because Jordan Love responded to beating Matt LaFleur twice. But when you look at the Bears,
did he really respond? Domofsky asked him that, but he gave him nothing.
I liked it a little bit. He made us know that, you know, yeah, I'm aware of it. So it's just something that I thought was a nothing burger. But Jordan Love being aware of it lets me know that, okay, maybe it's in the mind of the players.
Summarize what you had talked about with the Panthers.
Yeah, Jason, one time with Coach Rivera, another time with Brett Bielema, but specifically with Rivera, basically Sean Payton and the Saints drove around our stadium twice after beating us on Thursday night in an act of disrespect and a very Sean Payton-esque thing to do. Coach Rivera was pissed. Felt like it was disrespectful and all this kind of stuff in our city. Disrespectful, and us as a, you know, a team embodied that. A month later, we played in New Orleans, beat them 41-10. Cam did not come out of the game. We just kept on rolling. And my opinion is, I think they're saying everything well and nice into the media. But behind closed doors, Jason, I would be surprised if there wasn't a level of disrespect felt by the players, and specifically Matt LaFleur, and there isn't a, we owe them one for that. That level of disrespect cannot go unchecked, because that's, I know, what we were talking about every time we face something like that.
Even though it didn't land, it was still an attempt at a shot.
Yeah, everybody loves drama. I suppose some of the things, I was just talking to Josh Jacobs before you guys called, and he said the rivalry is ratcheted up this year because they actually have a decent team.
Yeah. I like
that. So is that disrespect? Boy, the way you put that, by the way, Brad, that is the most Sean Paytonist Sean Payton move ever to be done. Like, that's
right,
completely 100%. On brand for him to have done something like that. We talked to Waddle today and we mentioned it to him. I just. The way it was delivered, I thought, was awkward. But Waddle said that, you know, he didn't think much of it other than it was an awkward attempt by Ben Johnson to show Bears fans that he understood the importance of beating the Packers. So I don't think LaFleur is, like, going to use that as some sort of motivational tool. That's not really his style. But I do think that in the back of there, it's like, to your point, you know, Rob asked about that quote from Ben Johnson, and, you know, we're not worried about those things that are said. It's another game. Bears matchup, we're always trying to win that game. Like, that was lame, right? And then there was a follow-up of, but you heard it, though, right? And his response was, yeah, I've seen some stuff.
Seen some stuff.
I think it was Ryan. Yeah, again, maybe I'm just not as engaged in that kind of stuff. There's certainly been plenty of disrespectful things over the years that did motivate teams in good and bad ways, right? I mean, think about how poorly these guys played in the two games against Favre in 09 because they were so disrespected and so focused on sticking it to the old quarterback. And they played poorly. That got in their head. So somewhere between not caring at all and caring that much is kind of the Goldilocks place to be in terms of using this as motivation.
Jason, you know, I'm curious on what Jeff Hafley and or anyone on the defensive side of the football has said about their mindset and scheme to try to stop this Bears running game, especially after they put up so many yards on the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's their bread and butter on offense.
Yeah, they're all aware of it. We haven't talked to Halfley yet. He talks in a little while here after I'm done with you guys. But look, they have been a really, really good defense all year long. They're ranked very highly in a lot of categories, including run defense. But it kind of feels like they've had some games where you were like, eh.
The Panthers and the Giants stand out.
Those two, but also I think you have to say the Minnesota game. And only because it's 10-6 when Zane Anderson drives Miles, I want to say Miles Davis, but I know
Price.
That's not his name. Into the ball, and they recover, and then they go score a touchdown, 17-6. And then, you know, Kevin O'Connell knows that even though it's not a winning strategy, he has to put the ball in J.J. McCarthy's hands, and they can't keep running it the way he had been. Because it's the third quarter and you're down 11, and he probably could have kept running it, but he chose not to, and we know what happened after that. So I would say those three games, and look, now you're playing, I think they're second in the league in run offense now, the Bears are. So, yeah, this is a big one, and that has to be the priority, and especially, you know, up the middle, right, when you look at what the Bears did with their replenishing their offensive line was mostly in the interior. When you look at where a lot of the yards came from, if you watched the Black Friday game, it was up the middle. And so to me, you know, that's where this game is going to be. I was saying this to Strofe this morning when we were recording Weekly Wildy. Like, to me, this game is going to come down to two things more than anything else. Can the Bears effectively run the ball between the tackles against a defense that doesn't have Devontae Wyatt and hasn't had Quay Walker? Quay Walker was upgraded to a full participant in practice today. That's an encouraging sign, but that's one. And then two, can their quarterback, who has thrown only three interceptions all year, go up against the Bears defense that has picked off 17 passes, the most in the league? To me, those are the two things that stand out immediately about what will decide this game.
Now, Jason, which Matt LaFleur do you think will be the coaching, excuse me, will coach the Green Bay Packers on
that?
Sunday?
All right.
I am not
Matt
okay.
Matt LaFleur will be coaching Sunday.
I'm sorry, Jason. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, are we going to see the conservative Matt LaFleur that we saw against the Vikings or the aggressive Matt LaFleur that we saw against the Lions, all gas, no brakes? Which one do you think we're seeing on Sunday?
Yeah, I think this is not the answer you're looking for, so I'll get a bad grade afterward. But
you got a great grade, by the way, on Monday. Just so you know, you were fantastic.
Sure, I'm sure.
You were fantastic.
Sure, I did. I just think it depends how this game goes. It's going to be really cold. I had a really interesting conversation with Brandon McManus, who I'm going to start calling Bill Nye the Science Guy. Because he's going to do an experiment tomorrow on the footballs when they go out and kick. Because, you know, we've heard a lot of conversations, and Brad certainly knows way more about this than I do. But they've kind of gone back to allowing kickers and punters to prep their balls in a way that they had stopped or hadn't allowed them to do so for a bunch of years. And you know, I was asking Brandon, look, is there any way, because it's supposed to be like 17 degrees at kickoff, and the wind chill is going to be even colder on Sunday. And I was like, is there anything you can do from preparing the balls to give you an advantage in this weather? Because, you know, I remember Ryan Longwell and all these guys would always talk about kicking a K-ball was like kicking a rock.
Oh, Jason, it's horrible.
Right, see?
Horrible.
Exactly. So and the conversation was he's going to go out tomorrow. He's going to inflate the balls to the maximum allowed by the NFL, which is 13.5 pounds per square inch, I believe.
Inflate gate?
I think it's got it's for practice. So it's got to be between 12.5 and 13.5, he said. Now, I did not fact check him on that. I'm going to trust him. And then
I think that's true.
He's going to kick, and then what he wants to do is at the end of practice, after they've been out there all game, he wants to remeasure them. And he's predicting, his hypothesis is that it'll be down to like 10.5 because obviously cold air makes air contract.
Okay,
right?
Jason, can I just,
he also said,
so is this going to be all gas, no brakes? Are we going to be kicking a lot? I just want you to say, Jason, yes, all gas, no brakes.
I'm not sure you understood what I did there, so let me explain it to you. I ignored your question and decided to talk about something else.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's important for us to figure out which Matt LaFleur it is, because obviously a lot of fans came out after the Vikings game saying, we want more, we want more. And Matt LaFleur delivered and then some with all those fourth down conversions, man. And I think this is a great opportunity for Matt LaFleur to show us, hey, the Packers are turning the corner. We're going to punish this team in the Chicago Bears just like we punished the Lions.
Well, I appreciate your opinion on that, Kyle.
That really wasn't a question.
But I already asked a question. I don't know. I don't know why is it that we don't want to make a prediction on that, Jason? I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, you just talked about in the Vikings game how it was a close football game, and the Packers basically did not allow for that with the Lions. They were always up.
Because in the immortal words of Barry Alvarez talking about Ben Brust, and I'll paraphrase, who really cares? Who gives a blank about what my prediction is? There it is. My prediction doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not he is aggressive, and that makes you happy that he's more aggressive.
But would an aggressive play style be something that would play well this week against the Chicago Bears, a football team where you know they're probably going to try to slow down the clock as much as possible and have as many plays as possible running the football?
I think you have to be at least somewhat cautious about a defense that has 17 interceptions on the season. I will tell you that, and Waddle pointed this out as well, one of the areas where the Bears are not very good is with their pass rush. But you know where else they're not very good? Their run defense stinks.
And pass defense too.
So if you're, yeah, but their run defense stinks worse. So if you're thinking about what his game plan should be, I would think that would factor into the decision. Brad, I'm sorry. I was really enjoying our discussion about footballs. So
listen, I could go on and on and on about K-balls and the pain.
All right, the Punter Podcast with Wildy and Brad. Let me just say, that should be
coming
what
to YouTube.
Doing,
the
yeah.
fact
weekly
that
Wildy
these,
with a dose of Brad.
Yeah,
the fact that these kickers and punters can prepare their footballs and wear them in and bring them into a game—it's the closest thing to steroids that I can think of for a specialist.
All right, well there it is, Jason.
That's why they're kicking it so
long. We appreciate
long.
The time. We look forward to seeing what Matt LaFleur does, if it appeases Kyle or not, and I'm sure we'll discuss that with you on Monday.
Well, Jason has me on Sunday Karma. I'll talk to you Sunday, Jason.
Great. Can't wait. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wildy. Wildy and Tausch, 9 and noon across these very stations. Market manager Greg Scalzo joins us next to give us an update on Alex Stroh's career trajectory. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Hey, Gabe, also, did you call us idiots?
Yeah, it's exactly what I called us. Yes.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. ESPN Milwaukee's Big Boss.
I'm not going to be able to help you.
The only one who holds Ben accountable.
We each do our own research, Ben.
Welcome to Thursdays with Greg Scalzo.
Happy Thursday!
On Kyle Brustin Norton.
Oh, what do you know? The boycott is over!
Wow.
Greg Scalzo back with Kyle Brustin Norton. He got rid of the boycott himself by being a part of the Alex Stroh haircut gate. It's Kyle Brustin Nortman across True. ESPN Wisconsin. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talking text line. Welcome back, Gregory.
Somebody told me that our office never came together the way they did that day that Alex Stroh had the worst haircut known to man.
Dude, you're not lying.
Wow. You brought everybody together, Strophy, and your horrible haircut got me back on the show.
That's great. Let's keep that in mind for my next compensation conversation.
When is that? When's your next one?
I don't know, Greg. What's the answer on that?
I don't know. You want to make less?
I'd love
you
to.
You want to do that conversation now? This conversation right now.
Oh, the poor you can interview him right now.
Oof. I'd rather interview him about if his former co-host, who is the current host of the show that I produce Monday through Friday, did he ever...
Could you be more convoluted in saying that?
Did Ben Brust ever not tell you he would not be in an office one day and then show up hungover the next day? Did that ever happen to you?
I mean, as my co-host... Ben was... Ben was mysterious, yes, back in the day. Mysterious. There was times where, actually, mysterious isn't the right word.
That's, I don't like that.
Mysterious isn't the right word. But yes, there were stories like that where you never really knew where you were. And especially like summertime, your Ooh. First summer, there was a lot of like, Where's wait, Ben? Ben's on the show because he ended up going golfing with somebody or he was down in.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I never missed the show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we've gone too far now. We've gone too far. Cite some real time. The only thing that I did that was egregiously bad was leaving 2 minutes before the show to get to Golf League. You wanted to murder me.
Of course.
Like actually 2 minutes to go on air?
Yes.
Why not just stay?
Because I needed to get to the tea time.
You would
he would do this stuff more often than he's letting on. That first year, it took about a year.
I had to grow up a little.
For him to
when did you decide you were going to bully him but in such a way that shapes him?
I think it's just part of my personality. So, as Strofe has come to learn, sitting outside of my office, Kyle gets to witness some of it. But yeah, I it wasn't like a distinct choice, but like Ben is talented. He was just a little misguided at times early in his career.
Yeah, speaking of misguided, are you the one who bullied him out of not being a Bears fan? Because I had quite the revelation today, because this kid acts like he never cheered for the Bears whatsoever, and Twitter and social media would say a completely different.
Yeah, do you remember him being having an allegiance to the Bears when Scalzo and Bruss was going on?
I remember it, yeah. He did to a certain degree. He was never like a Bears diehard.
Oh, that's not what he said.
Go check Twitter from 2014.
Since I didn't know Ben until he came to work with us in 2017.
I'd just like to read you this text, given that you just used the term diehard. Ben Brust on Twitter, February of 2014. I'm a diehard Bears fan, but it's pretty cool that at Aaron Rodgers 12 is rooting for us.
That's classic
diehard.
I mean, it wasn't me that bullied him out of his Packer fan or out of his Bear fandom.
They did
fandom.
It to themselves.
It was the fans. It was the fan. The Scalzo and Bruss fans were just ruthless to Ben. And Ben has the personality similar to Strofe where he wants everybody to like him, right? Like
Ben bleed. Wants. We have some golden retriever in us.
Yes. Like Ben wants everybody to like him. And so the idea of like people being upset that he's a Bears fan, whereas Jim Rutledge thrives off of hate, right? Host of Jim, Matt, and Molly. He wants people to hate him. And so Ben ultimately went one way. And Jim is like, all he talks about, I feel like, is the Bears on. Jim
I
Matt
got
and
off our show, and Caleb Williams was the first name over the loudspeaker at 5 o'clock in the Madison office.
And then, you know, Ben is like, he abandoned his Bears fandom because he wanted the, you know, at the time, the Scalzo and Bruss family
well, he's
to love
being
him.
Called a fraud and all type of stuff right now. He's getting dragged on social media.
Dragged? Or
both of them.
I mean,
both
look, you could look at it a couple of different ways. One, if I want to be critical of Ben, is that he has very little conviction, and he can and he will go the way that the wind blows.
What's the other one?
The other piece of it is that I believe this is attributed to Albert Einstein, but I bet many people have said it. It's the idea that the test of true intelligence is the ability to change one's mind when presented with new evidence. And so you could say that
powerful
actually shows an evolution of him being like, why would I cheer for this trash franchise?
That I can
and
agree with.
And now I'm in Wisconsin. I live here. I want to, you know, be a part of the party and get excited. And he came during that great second sort of Aaron Rodgers run. And so I think you could look at it both ways, whether I want to be pro-Ben or anti-Ben.
Well, which are you?
You know what? Today I'll be pro-Ben.
Yeah.
I'll be nice to my guy today.
Yeah. That's crazy. You guys met in 2017. You never met the guy before. And then all of a sudden, you golden retrieved him all the way to your wedding as the best man.
Yeah.
Thanks for, that's timeline.
That's 8 years. That's like a long time. Talk to each other every day, you know?
He must have knew you were going to go to the top.
Me?
Yeah, you just
I did.
Brown nose.
I met him, like, this guy's going places.
Yeah, I better
like,
befriend
I'm not
him quickly.
Like, I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's got it, man. This Scalzo guy hosting this 11 and noon show on ESPN Madison, he's going to the top.
He ain't left your side. Sit.
Greg Scalzo joining us here on Kyle Brustin Ortman.
Look at that reset. What a pro.
You are being nice to him today.
He's good.
He had a fun night. He's been getting to hang out.
He's fighting through the hangover, man.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
You're much better than you.
Your brain is working better than yesterday.
I know. It's kind of fascinating.
What happened yesterday? You were in Candyland yesterday. You were back at ESPN Madison. You couldn't focus.
Dude, I'll tell you. I patted myself on the back, and I put my hand up, and I took ownership over the fact that I was not having a good brain day.
Hey, Greg, remember when you told us on Tuesday afternoon,
me and Strofe
over there that you were going to be in Madison, you had all these big meetings, and we joked about Ben Bruss, oh, well, he goes to Madison, he just hangs out with his best friend, good one of the good friends. We didn't even know that he was going to Madison.
We didn't know that.
We didn't find out after the last second of Madison and Milwaukee. I didn't tell you guys.
We found out at 1:04 p.m. yesterday.
I texted you at 12:51.
Well, that makes it so much better.
That's when I found so I had the no best idea is Kyle
goes,
be with you.
When Ben goes, all he does is go in and gets his car taken care of. And what did Ben do?
He got his car taken care of.
I was not taken care of. I still have a crack in my windshield. And I had a partner meeting.
With who?
Carathon. Zimbrick European off the Beltline Rim Rock Road.
Oh, yeah, your BFF.
Yeah. I don't know why you're... Kyle's, like, trying to... Like, he's enjoying the fact that... To Kyle's credit. No. What Greg did to me for many years is I've taken a little bit of Greg and done the create a Kyle narrative of a flip-flopper, he's done himself.
Come on,
but
Dan
now
Beyonce
that I'm getting roasted this week on Twitter and you're getting, like, I was in Madison, Kyle's trying to take all that out on me.
I literally, the day before, made fun of you for what you did. Little did I know, less than 24 hours later, you would be doing exactly what we said you always do, and you didn't even give us a heads up. I knew where the market manager was going to be on Wednesday, but I didn't even know where my own co-host was going to be.
That text did not have any level of remorse.
Sorry, you guys didn't know.
He's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not going to be there. I'm in Madison.
Oh, guys, we did a show. Stop acting like we need to be in the same place and like I need to apologize.
You should tell him where.
I agree, but Kyle's taking a vacation.
He's out. He sends an email 2 weeks beforehand, sure. 1 week beforehand,
sure
one day. Nobody communicates out of office like Kyle Wallace.
You know? I will not be here.
I let y'all know. Don't look for me.
Yeah. Ben Johnson's weird. Play the audio for Greg. I'm sure he's heard it. This is just weird. Weird. His introductory press conference, then you're going to hear Jordan Love, and we'll get your take on this and, you know, let you do the big things that I always knew you'd be able to do when I first met you.
Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Jordan Love. Reacting to questions from Rob Domofsky about this.
Nah, you know, we're not worried about those things that are said. You know, it's another game, obviously. You know, the Bears match up, we're always trying to win that game.
You heard it, though. You said it, I imagine.
I've seen some stuff, yeah. I've seen some stuff.
What went through your head?
It is what it is, man.
Any good team uses that as motivation. Even if the external is PR, you want to beat up on the guy that takes a shot at you, right?
Yeah, I would think so, of course. But, like, look, I don't think, and this is more of a Brad question, who's an NFL, it doesn't change what you do. To me, it probably makes the winning sweeter, right? It almost is like something that afterwards, you feel better about beating somebody that's talking. But, like, in the end, they're not doing anything differently in practice. It's not like they go 98% against the, you know, Vikings and they're going to go 100% against the Bears. You're going 100% every week.
That's true. You are. And it's not like this rivalry needs any more juice. But whenever we had situations like this, and I told a couple stories earlier in the show when we were disrespected by Sean Payton and the Saints, and Ron Rivera took that personally and we steamrolled them next time we saw them. And Brett Bielema, when he was disrespected by Coach Brewster, if you remember that name, from the Minnesota Gophers.
Tim Brewster.
He said, we are going to run up the score on these guys. So I think it's human nature, though, to have like a little bit more edge, a little bit more juice. And it's not like you really need it as a pro athlete or a college athlete, but there's just something a little bit different about preparation when you take the field, a little bit more juice, and there is just no let up. And I love when that kind of thing happens. I just hope Matt LaFleur is telling these guys what Rivera and Bielema told us. Like, it doesn't have to be close. We owe these dudes something, and they're going to pay the bill.
Yeah, I love it. I love that he said it. Like, I love Ben Johnson. And I know you guys are all going to look at me, but...
You liked your shirt off too, didn't you?
Yeah! Yes!
Oh, yeah.
You think this is going to help your pay?
Yes. I love the fact that, like, there are personalities, and he's willing. Like, it gives you something to talk about. Like, there aren't enough personalities in the league right now. It's why I love Aaron Rodgers, because he's different. He's an interesting guy.
So you think
the fact that Ben Johnson's ripping his shirt off after a game is awesome.
He just seems so fake and phony. He's not.
I don't think so.
He's an intense dude. He's a brainiac. He isn't a dude that's hardcore.
He can't read the room. He's like, I'm going to take my shirt off
now. He's corny. Like, he just seems a little cheesy a little bit. I just don't believe it.
I don't know if I agree with that. He puts himself out there.
I think he's
trying.
I think he's an excellent football mind and a very good offensive coordinator, and he's done a very good job with the Chicago Bears this year, but we all know you don't believe that.
If Matt LaFleur did that, Kyle would be like, that's my coach!
Of course. Kyle would love it. Nah. He'd come in here and be like, that's a man's man. Did you see that man's ass? You see that man's biceps?
Not Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur ain't taking the shirt off like that. He ain't a shirt off type guy. Dan Campbell. Now, Dan Campbell could take a shirt off. He's a dude. Matt LaFleur is a little pretty boy, and Ben Johnson's a little nerd. He's fake. Brainiac.
Do you think that about Kyle Shanahan, too? Because he's an offensive, like, brainiac?
Nah, Kyle Shanahan, he ain't ripping his shirt off either. But, oh boy, in L.A., oh, yeah, he can rip his shirt off. McVay bought that life. I can see McVay ripping that shirt off. He bought that life. Championship.
So because he's won a championship, he's earned the ability to take a shirt off.
Okay. Mike Tomlin can rip off the shirt, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy? Nah, I'll keep the shirt on. But I can see him taking it off. I can see him taking it off.
Oh, now love to see
Andy Reid. Andy Reid could be fun.
Yeah, don't get in the body shirt.
We're getting too close, Kyle.
What?
You know, hey, fat guy, don't take your shirt off.
I think everybody's body matters. As a man who has quite the chest that isn't firm, you know, I'm okay with taking
my shirt.
I'm glad
you have the sweatshirt on because your man boobs have been getting bigger.
Now, you saying boobs on air? That's wild. You hear that? That's sexual assault. I was assaulted right in front of him. This man just commented on my breast.
Well, he said they were getting bigger, which was too far.
Exactly. Most men like that.
You take it up with HR.
Thank you, Greg Scalzo.
Most men like that.
Why are you getting out of here so quick? You didn't say thank you for having me. It was a great
time. He needs to drink some water. His voice sounds shot today.
Mine? No, I feel fine. I didn't know what. Again, I got very little preparation here for the segment. I got to text it. What time was it here from Strofe? World's most okay producer. 2:45 p.m. He just texted me with a 3:30.
Yeah, because I came up to you and you were scarfing down four tacos and you weren't listening to me,
tacos.
So I walked away.
Yeah,
you didn't confirm
with a fork,
this before.
No, I was trying to confirm. I said 3:30.
You walked
right?
directly by me. You did not stop. You did not try to approach. You're walking down
the
stairs.
I was talking to you and Ben, and I said 3:30. He's scheduled today, and you were eating tacos
ben
with a fork.
Ben wasn't there.
I was.
Yes,
not
you
there.
Were.
No,
yes,
he was not.
Was
I was
you,
sitting next
Greg,
to your girlfriend. No.
No, earlier.
This is why you're never going to get a raise.
It was in the kitchen. Well, you were not sitting next to my girlfriend. That was later when I just said, good job, Scales. Earlier, you were in the kitchen.
What is he talking about?
So who cares?
I have no idea what he's talking
knows?
About.
Who knows? It doesn't matter, Strofe. This isn't going
to
help
Nobody
you
listens to me.
That's true.
This is why I'm just walking out.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Thanks,
Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. We wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin portion. Get to Levi, who's been on hold for 85 minutes. Thanks for holding. You're next on Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
This is Kyle Bruston-Ortman, KBN.
Homer. This might be the dumbest thing that he has to have said in his career.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We go to the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776 on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Levi, you're about to cross over the 90-minute on hold threshold, so we're going to start with Steve in Watertown. Steve, you're on the Carbless Talking text line.
How's it going, fellas?
Hey.
It's going good. Steve. What's happening?
Good. Hey, this is for Ben.
What up?
Specifically. We are going to my daughter's first basketball game. She's in sixth grade, and Myla is starting as the point guard.
Mm.
Do you have any tips, Ben, for Myla today?
Don't turn over the ball. Value that basketball. No turnovers. Try and get through the game.
Okay.
Not turning the ball over. Set your teammates up for success and be opportunistic when you see a driving lane.
I have advice too for Myla. Mila, when you get the rock, shoot the rock, okay?
Oh, no,
shoot
the rock. No, you're the point guard. Set others up for success, but don't forget about yourself, because when you start setting others up, it's going to open up opportunities for you.
You want to be Caitlin Clark?
Okay.
Let it ride, girl.
Let's say, push the ball. Pace.
Let's go, Mila.
She's like the quarterback.
Let's go, Mila.
Thank you, Steve. Levi, thanks for holding for 90 minutes and 55 seconds. You're up on Kyle Bruston-Norman. You got to keep it tight.
He's been waiting for 90 minutes.
Actually, Ben, I have to correct you. It's almost 93 minutes on my phone, but close enough. Don't worry about it.
The new record.
By the way, this is a special request because it's time constraint. I should close out the show for you for ESPN Madison for you, so they can get ready for Jim, Matt, and Molly starting at 4 at ESPN Madison.
I'll let you do that after I talk about Connie's delivering pizzeria taste without pizzeria prices. BOGO at Pick and Save, it's even better. You got that BOGO December 3rd through the 16th. Palermo's provides great products. Go to Pick and Save, get the BOGO. You know I love my Screamin' Sicilians as well as Connie's, Urban Pie. They have it all. Find your screaming pleasure in any Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Levi, the floor is yours to send us out of the ESPN Wisconsin portion before we're on 94.5 ESPN.
30 seconds, Levi.
How many more seconds?
You're down to 25.
Oh, okay. I'll be quick. Coming up next on 100.5 ESPN Madison, you'll hear Jim, Matt, and Molly. And right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, you'll hear Rustin Nortman till 5 p.m. and then the Homer Show from 5 to 6.
In two short
Thank
minutes.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah. We're not going anywhere. Two more minutes.